Welcome back to the Godcast of Measurement, Shelby. And you know, it's been a little while since I've been able to get a episode recorded. Charlie, how are you, bud?
I am great. So, you know, I was wondering, I didn't ask before we started, but how do we want to tell our little story? Do you want me to tell it, or do you want to tell, or do you want to tell it?
Because no, you tell it.
All right, okay. So, you know, we're it feels like a month ago now, but maybe a couple weeks ago. I'm not really sure.
It was actually just last week.
Just last week. Yeah. Oh my gosh, time is flying. Good grief. Okay. So just last week, me and Ben were trying to sit down and record this exact same episode you're listening to right now. But we're having all these technical difficulties. Like Anchor's not working. All these different things is not working. We try to send the links to each other, whatever. And then we finally, I host the Riverside thing like I'm doing right now. Well,
yes.
We go on for about 30 minutes, and then Ben looks at me, or he like stops me from talking. He goes, and I'm like, "What?" And he goes, "You didn't hit record." I'm like, "Oh crap, no!" But like, and we were doing so good too. And I'll probably go over briefly what I told you, you know, so that way others can hear it. But I won't, you know, go longer than what I did last time. But it was,
It was good.
It was good. I'll tell you, it was a good conversation. I just wish all of you could have heard it. You know, for what we did.
So,
you know, sometimes it rolls like that.
Sometimes it does. So, yeah, Charlie is going to get the audio off of Riverside and send it to me. Do you know how to do that?
Well, no, but I'll figure it out. At least right now we have a timer going where it says we're recording. So that's progress.
That's true. That's good. So do you have a computer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So yeah, we'll just get it off of his computer and you'll send it to me because he's an amazing guy. So
yeah, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, we can just get started with, this is going to be a two-part episode. So you'll listen to about 30 minutes of it today, and then next week you'll listen to another 30 minutes of it. And I'm so excited to have Charlie on twice in 2 weeks. All right. Well, before we get started, I asked you this question before, and you kind of did a deep cut with what your answer was.
Yeah.
So let's see what maybe your answer's changed since a week ago. But what if you could choose one villain? It doesn't matter what kind of villain. It can be any sort of villain, like movie villain. What would you choose to be?
Yeah. I remember I said, you know, like now that it's coming back to me, like because I've done so much in the – since last week, you know, I know I said like either Green Goblin or Mr. Negative, and I went into like who Mr. Negative was because you didn't really know. And like, and for people who don't know, you know, he was in the Spider-Man PS4 game, and he's kind of got like, I guess he's like the epitome of like, you know, someone who has a good side and a bad side. Like, you know, on the good side, he's like this good-natured guy who wants to help people at a homeless shelter and owns the place and runs it. And then his other side, he's got like these like powers of darkness and things like that. And it's like, I think that kind of shows like how people sometimes can be like, you know, just, you know, you have both sides of, you know. Yeah, that's how I mean, I'm sure darkness. I went into more detail. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure I went into more detail last time, but that's kind of what I was thinking. And I remember I told you that I'd made like a script for a film that I was doing, or not actually doing it, but if I had the money, I would. But, you know, it was like Spider-Man Not Far From Christ. And if I was to make a film, that's what who the villain would be.
That'd be cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Actually, since the last time I talked to you, I made a little film.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was it? Like, what was it about?
It's like, little inside story, okay? Me and my cousin Jack, who is a few years younger than me, not too many, we've grown up always making movies. Like, we've grown up together just doing that stuff. Well, we've always tried to make, like, a scary movie to scare our parents. That's what we wanted to do ever since we were little, okay?
Yeah.
Well, I decided one day that I just wanted to take my phone and just, like, record a house and just get, like, some creepy shots. And like string it together. So I did that just to scare him, and it worked pretty well. So it's literally just 10 minutes of like a camera slowly panning through a house. And then every once in a while, like you'll see something run in front of the screen, but like, it's literally just did it to creep him out, and it was perfect. So,
yeah. I mean, I don't know why when you said that, it made me think of like a time when I was like, I don't know, maybe like 5 or 6. I was trying to find my grandpa and my uncle, and like I went out to like this shed, opened the door, they had the lights off, and they like scared the bejesus out of me and then turned the lights on. I was like,
I love
why
that.
Would you do that? It
No,
scared me so bad.
And one time me and Don were talking about like just the fear of especially being a kid and being alone in the house.
Yeah, oh
Like,
gosh, yeah.
oh man, there's nothing quite like it. So I tried to kind of tap into that to try to creep out my cousin. I didn't creep him out as much as I creeped my little cousin. She's like 10 out, and she wasn't too happy with me, but it was funny.
It's okay, you know. Just
yeah, it's okay. It's good for her.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so you said something interesting, and then we'll, last time,
yes,
you know, when we didn't hit record. So would you want to say what you wanted to
yeah.
say here?
Sure. So, you know, what I was talking about last time, and again, I don't know if I'll go into as much detail, but what it was, you know, like it was like a couple weeks ago now, you know, I was like noticing so much was going on, like, you know, just changes and stuff. And this was when, you know, I think it's like stopped there now, but the Asbury revival, you know, it was like in full force, like full swing. Maybe it was in like a couple days. You know. And I've already seen the effects, like it spread to, since then, it spread to my college in VSU. They've started doing stuff downtown. There was a tent revival maybe about a month ago, like a minute down from my house. Then I know Donovan, I asked him, I was like, you know, if you had, like, I asked him if it had spread anywhere near him. And he said it's gone to, like, a college, like, 45 minutes away from him.
Wow.
So just a bunch of different colleges, right? And there was also things like, I know we touched on The Chosen a little bit, just the success of, you know, just a show about Jesus is blowing up in the box office of all things, like, you know, and sure, is everything going to be 100% right? No, you know, but people are loving it, you know, and
yeah,
and that's partly because like, they don't want to look at this weird stuff anymore. They just want good family entertainment. And that's something that could like really tug at their heartstrings and just get them motivated by something. I know it's made more people open their Bibles and, you know, ask questions. Like,
I've seen that in my own family. Like,
yeah,
I've seen that.
Good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Like, with The Chosen.
You know, so, like, people are learning from this and figuring it out. And also just also putting a face to a lot of characters that are a lot of people in the Bible that you're like, what do they even look like? You know, so they're at least they're getting some of an idea. But then also Jesus Revolution came out, on your birthday of all days.
Yeah, it did.
You know,
and Donovan's
came out
birthday.
Yeah, on Donovan's birthday. You know, it came out and I haven't yet to see it, but I'm planning on going to see it with like 9 people, if we can get it worked out. I've heard it's a good one. You know, and if people don't know what it's about the 70s revival that happened all over the country with Greg Laurie and what's the guy's name? Oh no, Jonathan, or not Jonathan Frisbee, but I can't think of the guy's, but it's Frisbee. You know, the last name is Frisbee. I just can't think of the guy's name. And he was a hippie, which is what a lot of them were. They were like, you know, that's why, like, I guess the 70s was partly considered like the era of hippies, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's just a really cool thing. And that's just a few probably of the things I've noticed since then. I've had D now, which that was really, really fun.
That was it looked like a lot of fun.
It was fun. I mean, singing in the choir and stuff, like, you know, I mean, that was probably my favorite part, singing in the choir. You know, and I hope we get more opportunities to do that again, because I would join the choir, but like, you know, we've already got so much stuff going on. I don't know if I could make it back up to Northside and then back down here to do just that and rehearse.
Right.
But if there's any other times that, you know, and hey, if Pastor Jeff is listening to this, if there's any other opportunities that you want to have the youth, I'll be glad to jump up there, please.
And Pastor Jeff, I don't live anywhere near you, but I would also like to do that.
Please, you know, we need to get fly Ben out. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, let's go.
Please. Like, let's get him up there. But you know, it's just been, that was a blast, you know, with the games and stuff like that. I will say I did fall in the sanctuary and got carpet burned, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, as long as nobody was looking, it's
okay. Well, one person was, because they wanted to make sure I was okay, but it's okay.
Well, I guess that's okay.
You know, but it wasn't a bunch of people. Like, you know, everybody was scattered out around the entire church because we were doing like a scavenger hunt game, right? Mm-hmm. It was the only time that you could probably run in the church legally and it wouldn't be freaking people out.
Right.
You know, but like, you know, so I was trying to keep up my group and like, it was so funny because like, there's people everywhere, but there's nobody in the sanctuary. Like, it's completely empty besides people running back in two to get a shortcut in. Yeah. And I fall in that one place where there's nobody. Like, not where people's legs are stretched out. None of that. Nah. Where there's no one in there. Like, but really? I thought that was so funny. Like, yeah. Come on. Oh.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think Charlie has, like, a great point here. I think that if Christians can stand up, actually, I don't think, I know that if Christians stand up and, you know, put away everything that doesn't matter or everything that might be holding you back and go fully out for God, I think that our country is on the verge of revival if we do our jobs. And mm-hmm. clearly, some people are doing their jobs, and yeah. we're seeing that right now in front of our faces, yeah. period. There's not even a question about that.
So. No, I mean, because, and what is so cool to me is that, you know, of course, I'm like less than a year. I just sent you my baptism video with the revamped, like, you know, and I'm so glad that I was able to figure that out, because I was kind of disappointed, because when we, like, for some reason, if you send, say, like a, you know, I'm sure you've done it before, like somebody that doesn't have an iPhone, like the quality of the video just gets severely downgraded, right? And my dad took the videos, you know, because my mom's sitting on the other side over there waiting her turn. And, you know, so... it was like, I was like, oh my gosh, is this the only like version I have? Well, then I did some digging and was able to get a better version of it.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so, but my point to
that
is.
Have you posted it on Instagram yet?
I have, but it was the worst. It was the not good version. I'm going to wait to post that like when the year anniversary hits. But my point to that is, I'm just happy that like the Lord wanted me to be a part of this and notice all the stuff that's going on this year and not be left in the dark when it comes to that, because there's so many people that don't realize it. You know, and we need to evangelize to them tell them the word. But it's just, you know, such an awesome opportunity to notice all the stuff and just like see what's like, oh my gosh, look what's happening with college students and, whatever other age groups there may be floating around out there, you know?
And I do want to point out, and then we'll get started here. I do want to point out that, you know, it's great that these people are doing this, you know, revival and, you know, preaching in front of a mass audience. That's great. That's what God called them to do. But guys, focus on what God called you to do. Because if there's not people in the background leading people to Christ, then there's no reason that not everybody's going to be going to these revival meetings. Your friends, your family, the people in your town, they're probably not going. So you need to step up and be the person that you need to be, the person that God called you to be. And we're kind of going to see on how we're going to do that as we read through this. Yeah. But it's just important to realize, hey, just don't be distracted with the numbers game. I was talking to Donovan Friday. Don't be distracted with the numbers game. If you do, then you're going to be discouraged. But lead the people that God called you to lead. Shepherd the people that God called you to shepherd. And you will be doing your job. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, and I will say this, and then we can jump straight into it. Sometimes you may have to get a little creative when what I mean by that is, like, when, you know, I'm talking about, like, spreading the gospel in, you know, a way is, you know, I have somebody that I wanted to talk to him about it, but, like, our, you know, we're always in a group or whatever, you know, for, like, a class or whatever, but I wanted to do it one-on-one and then, you know, whatever, right? So I was like, how am I going to, you know, how am I going to, like, I can't pull them aside or whatever, you know, because there's people everywhere, like, all the time. So I was like, okay, well, and then I looked at my phone, and then I was like, oh my gosh, I got a ring light set up here, a little thing that I can set my phone here. Video, let's do it. And so I, like, did that, split it in two, and sent it to them. If it does anything, I'll be praying it does. But, you know, the point, you know, the point is that he did listen to it, and I hope he, like, listened to it, you know, and then he got something out of it. But that's what I mean. You have to get creative sometimes, like, with it. You know, so, I mean, and plus sometimes you might, and plus sometimes you're not going to, I mean, obviously there's fear in having to walk up to somebody and just tell them, which I've not done that as much, but
yeah, and
we all have our own areas of comfort, I guess, comfort zones.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that that is purposefully by design outside of our comfort zones.
Yeah.
Because I think that when we surrender to God, then it gets easier. But if... what we have to realize, and I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me too, because that's what I've struggled with it, and I still do struggle with it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody was in a burning building, and we would not sit back, we would go and help them.
Right.
And Christians, if you know anything about the Bible, you know that these people are in worse than a burning building. They are literally If they don't hear the gospel and accept it, they are literally going to suffer an eternal damnation. Mm. And if you care about your family, if you care about your friends, you can't save them. You can't save them. So don't get distracted with, oh, well, I've already tried, but they're not saved. Hey, you can't save them. All you can do is put them at the feet of the Savior. Mm. So lead them to Christ. I've talked to you about this multiple times, Charlie, but mm-hmm. the phrase of, well, I haven't led anyone to the Lord because you haven't seen anyone get saved. Leading someone to the Lord is not seeing someone get saved. Leading someone to the Lord is simply that. Lead them to the Lord in what they choose, and we'll see free will next in the next episode. But the path that they choose is the path that they choose. You can't do choose that for them. So lead them to the lead them to God, but you can't save them. Lead them to God and let them make the choice for themselves. Mm-hmm. So,
and what I think is neat is that, you know, we don't, I mean, I'd like to think, and who knows, it may have happened, you know, with all of our podcasts, that may have happened to someone and we just have no idea.
Absolutely.
You know,
I 100% think that that's possible.
Oh yeah, and definitely.
If you're listening and you get encouraged or you have gotten saved or you've rededicated your life, be sure to tell me. I've had some people reach out already saying that, that it's helped them. And I don't think you guys understand how much of an encouragement that is. I know that there's quite a bit of people listening. So, you know, it's an encouragement to hear how God uses us. And, you know, if this episode's helped you out, tell Charlie. Like,
please do. I mean, I know, like, I'm not as easy to get in contact with as some other people, but
no,
but you know,
Instagram, I'll have his Instagram down there.
It's not that I'm bad at it. It's that my profile is private because of people being weirdos.
Right.
You know? Yep. So like, but I promise you, like, if you want to reach me in some way, I'll promise you I'll figure it out. Just, you know, who knows? Yep. I might set like a Young Minds email. I might start doing that. So that way people can,
that might be a good idea. Anyway, just tell us because it helps out.
It does.
A lot.
100%.
So, all right. Well, we are going to get started, and we're going to read the first four verses today.
Okay.
And we're going to read it slowly, and we're just going to try to dissect every single little bit of truth that we have here. So first, when we're going to read the verse, then I'm going to let Charlie give what he thinks about it. Then I'm going to say what God has brought up in my mind about it, and then Charlie, do you have that book in front of you still?
The life lessons?
The one that you used last week.
Yeah. So I have, because it's actually, the life lessons are in my Bible, actually. So it's
okay.
All in.
Then, yeah.
It's all right here. Yep, I got it.
So we're going to read the scriptures, and then we're going to get some different insights onto what this means specifically to us and what this means as a big picture in our Christian walk. So I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to get started. You ready?
Right. Yep.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for everything you are and everything you do, God, and I pray that you please clear my mind of anything that needs to be cleared, and I pray that you please touch me and Charlie and just help us to first be edified, and then as a result of that, edify others in this episode, God. And I just thank you for everything you are and everything you do. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray. Amen. Okay. Amen. Well, we are in Psalm 119, and this is part 15. Part 15. This is actually episode 57 for me. So that's exciting.
Really?
Yeah, three more, and we'll be at 60.
Woo! Kind of cool. Wow. I'm almost at 20.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I've been following you since day one.
Day one. But, yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. We're in Psalm 119, and we're going to begin in verse 105. And this is a very common verse, but I want to kind of jump back a couple of verses to read, because when we read a verse, it's easy to take the verse out of context or not really get the meat of the verse, because, you know, you take it by itself. You know, if you take an ingredient, or if you take like a chocolate chip out of a cookie and eat the chocolate chip, the chocolate chip's fine, but it's way better when you get the whole thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we're going to jump back to verse 102. It says, I have departed not from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. So what we see here is that God's word, this man just has a love for God's word, and he hates everything else, every false way. And in verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So he's saying here in context that everything around him is dark. He hates every false way. So he is rejecting the darkness and giving into the light. And how do we walk in the dark? You know, when it's dark outside, you need a light to guide you. And me and my mom were talking earlier about how we need to crave the light. You know, if I'm okay with being in the darkness, then I don't care about the light. You know, if I want to be in a dark state, you know, like if I'm going to bed or whatever, then I don't turn on the light. But it's when I am ready to see, then I turn on that light. And I think it's time for Christians to turn on that light, read the word of God. Because if we don't turn on that light, then we're going to be satisfied with being in the darkness for the rest of our life. We need to see the way that we are supposed to live by flipping on the light of the word of God. So that's kind of what I immediately took out of it. What would you say?
Well, you know, when I think I might have said something similar last time, but you know, like I remember like we were talking about you know, I guess a moment in my life, right, when it just felt like, you know, I was going through the motions of life, right? So just, you know, I was, you know, getting up, going to school, whatever, eating whatever, and then just like, but it was just kind of continuous, things like that, and there wasn't much. I guess I didn't think there was a path or whatever, right? That was,
right.
All right, you know, I was just kind of going through life, you know, without much, like, I don't know what you'd call it. I guess just like much purpose at the moment, you know? And so I guess, I think what I was getting at was like, so it says, you know, your word is the lamp of my feet, right? So, like, you know, he will guide you, like, just use the Lord and he will guide your feet to wherever he wants you to go. Like, you know, there, and also I've heard people say, like, you know, that you may not like the place where the Lord wants you to be, but it's where he wants you to be. Trust that. Like, you remember, like, why in the world am I in this place, because I don't like it, you know, wherever it may be, but just trust him. It's going to be way better in the long run. You just don't realize it yet. And also just, he will also, I think too, you know, it's talking about that he will keep your, you will have to keep your, keep his ordinances. You know, just, I was reading that, or when you read that, I was thinking like, maybe as long as you keep his ordinances, he will guide your feet in the light and you will be brought out of whatever it is. If it's trouble, if you don't know where you're going next, just keep following him. You know, cause I mean, that can often happen. You just don't know, like sometimes you just get stuck. You're like, well, like, Lord, what am I doing next? I did this big thing and what's, you know, what now, what, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of what I got out of it. And no, if you want, I can go and read this at the bottom.
Yeah, we can. Mm-hmm. I think that's perfect because, like you said, it's a conscious choice. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We can't. Let me see how I want to word this. You cannot live your life saying you're in the light when you don't consciously choose to follow God. You know what I mean? Now, Jesus is that light, and Jesus is the Word of God. So you can't separate the two. You need the two to live. So I like what you said there about that.
Right.
But yeah, go ahead and read what he had to say.
All right. So this, if you know who it is, Charles Stanley, for those listening, he, you know, has many, I guess you say, versions of the Bible. Like, I don't know how many he has, but they're all similar. Mm-hmm. But what he has down at the bottom are life lessons to kind of explain what you just read. And this is for 105 specifically. It says, left to ourselves, we often don't know which path leads to life and which way ends in death. We remain in the dark, but through his word, God sheds light on our situation and leads us to safety. You know, that's just for one specific situation. But that's also a good way to look at it as well.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Mm-hmm. So that's just a great verse, and it's even greater when you put it in the right context. So verse 106 says, I have sworn and I will perform it. I'm going to stop right there. It is important, guys, The Bible says all the time that it is important to not make promises to God that you don't intend on keeping. And this is something that I'll struggle with every once in a while. Mm-hmm. I'll promise God, well, God, I'm not going to eat today. Then I say, well, you know, God, I'm really hungry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I do that. So be careful with what you promise God. Because mm-hmm. here it says that he swore and he will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. And the Bible says all the time, woe unto them that promise something to God and don't keep that promise. So just be careful with what you promise God, and whatever you promise God, perform it. So don't be hasty with promising God something, because God's going to hold you to that. He's an almighty mm-hmm. God, and it's a fearful thing to fall to the hands of the living God. So just remember that this man, he made a promise to God and he kept it. And clearly he kept it because he loved God's word. So if you don't love God the way that you ought to, you're not going to keep the promises that you give him, because you're not loving him the way you want to, or the way you're supposed to. If I don't care about somebody and I promise something, then, you know, I don't even know how to explain it anymore. Maybe you have something more you want to say.
Well, I think I accidentally kind of like combined the two when I was talking about 105. Whoops. Because I looked at both of them, you know, because like they're right in my Bible, they're not really spaced out. But like, you know, like kind of what you said, you know, like just like there's so many times when, I mean, just in life, you know, you have promises that you don't keep. Right.
Right.
You know, and yep. Like, I mean, because I mean, obviously you feel bad, you know, like, especially if it's like a good friend, right? You feel bad if you don't keep that promise, you know, to them, right? Whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Just so I just imagine how like you're going to feel if you don't keep that promise to the Lord. Like,
that's right.
It's probably like, you know, 10 times around. Cause I mean, and I go back to it a lot, and, you know, Donovan kind of helped me interpret it a little bit in a different way. You know, John 15:13 says, you know, he says that there's no greater love than this, to sacrifice your life for his friends. And I mean, just think that mm-hmm. Jesus calls us, you know, a friend, right? And that's something that's so cool, you know, to think about. I mean, so, you know, if you don't want to, you know, break a promise to, you know, a friend, say like a good friend of yours now, you know, you wouldn't want to break it to Jesus, you know, no. Especially Jesus, like,
especially,
you know, but that's kind of just what I think of that, you know, like, because I mean, I just love that verse, because I thought of it in a different way at first, but then I heard it, you know, the way Donovan said it, and I was like, yeah, that makes a whole lot more sense than what I was thinking. Just cause, yeah, like, you know,
and that's why it's important to talk scripture with your friends, talk scripture yeah. with your counselors, or mm-hmm. you know, because we don't understand it all. I don't understand
no.
even a sliver of what I should in the scriptures.
Yeah,
and
I'll tell you.
I just want to keep learning it.
But. Yeah, and you know, like some of the stuff, like me and my mom, we're going to this Bible plan that Northside gave us, you know, mm-hmm. and of course it starts with the Old Testament, goes to the New. Some of the first books in the Bible, I'm not going to lie to you, if you have not sat down and read them, I mean, you should read them, but they're difficult. They're I'm not going to lie.
They are
difficult. You know, because Genesis is good, you know, goes to the creation, like most people know. And then, you know, the first part of Exodus is pretty good. And then you get to, like, the building of the tabernacle and all the, whoa, you know, it's just like, that's hard to read, you know? Yeah. And it's kind of like that, you know, or like, and even some of the, what is it like, you know, when it goes into like Leviticus and all that, some of the diseases and all that stuff. And mm-hmm. like, it was kind of funny. I was reading me and mom were reading it, and it said like, he who is afflicted by this must be, you know, like isolated for 7 days. And then it said he must be isolated for another 7 days. And I was like, what is this, COVID? Like, I was reading it, you know, like, so,
right.
You know, I was like, hey, you know,
like, oh,
but
he started in the Bible, man.
Yeah, but like, you know, and so it is hard, and I won't admit it is hard. Like, people think, oh yeah, once you know you crack that Bible open, you know, it's gonna be, it'll just come right to you. No, it's not. Nope. And even stuff in the New Testament, it won't come to you right away too.
Me and mom, we were talking about scripture this morning, and I was stumped. I'm still stumped. I'm trying to figure out what in the world it meant there, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we can just trust that it's God's word, and that, you know, we're We're finite beings trying to understand an infinite God's wisdom. We are not going to do that. We're not going to be able to do that. But God's given us ways that we can understand what we need to understand. So,
and you know, even the best pastor doesn't understand all of it.
No,
you know,
no, that's right. There's people that give their entire life to studying the Word of God, and they don't understand half of it. They'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. So, verse 107 is interesting, and it's interesting because of verse 106. It says in verse 106, like we just read, I have sworn and I will perform it. But then if you jump down to verse 107, it says, I am afflicted very much. So hold on. Even though this man promises God his life and he's going to perform it, he does do what he's supposed to do, he's still afflicted. And it's just a good reminder that just because of, and I talked about this on Monday actually, just because the world around you seems like maybe God doesn't care, or, you know, God's not watching you. No, hey, he is watching you. He does care about you. He does care about the people around you. And even though you are being afflicted, that does not change the fact that God loves you. So, like, I love that. Because oftentimes we think, oh, well, I'm being afflicted, then I must not be doing something right. No, this man was doing something right. And the Bible says specifically that all that live godly will suffer persecution, period. You will suffer persecution. Oh, yeah. I will suffer persecution. Everyone who lives godly will. But the problem is that we forget that even though our problems become bigger, the God that protects us is way bigger than any of the problems that we're going to have. Mm-hmm. So don't be discouraged if you are being afflicted right now, but be happy that in the future, this is going to go away. All of it. In Romans chapter 8, and I'm kind of going on a tangent here, but I'll say this because it's important. In Romans chapter 8, it says that, you know, I am persuaded, I believe is the wording. I don't have it right in front of me, but it says, I am persuaded that the sufferings of this world are not to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. You know what that means? That we, no matter what we're going through, it's not worthy to be compared with what God's about to do in us when we see him in the flesh. So don't forget that. We're not fighting a battle of the flesh. We're fighting a battle of the spirit. And what we need to do is set our mind to following God, even though there might be some hard times in our way. And behind every single storm, there's sunshine. Just endure the storm. Don't get angry at God, because this is not what God wanted, but God has allowed it. Mm-hmm. And through the trying of your faith, worketh patience. You will come out of the stronger if you just trust God. That was a long tangent. What do you think about this?
No, it's all good, man. You know, I mean, you really did hit it pretty good. But, you know, like, I'm kind of taking it a different direction with it.
Yes.
You know, like, one thing that I was thinking about as you were talking, it was, you know, of course, you know, people say that this is going on, whatever, you know, and all this is going on, you know, because, and they're feeling persecuted, right? But, you know, and of course, there's often some complaining going on and things like that. But it's, of course, you know, we're human, you know, we're going to complain. I probably complain more than I should. You know, about the much, you know, the thing that I'm like, why did I complain about that after I think about it? But, you know, I'm trying to do it more, you know, is I shouldn't be complaining, because I mean, Jesus paid the ultimate price and he did not complain one bit. I mean, he was scared,
yep,
but he did not complain one bit, you know?
He did it for us.
Exactly. You know, and it's like, why did I complain about, like, I don't know, an example, like, you know, why did I complain that my pencil lead broke, like, when literally that is minute compared to what Jesus did for us on the cross, you know, like, you know,
yeah,
it's just
right.
And you're like, no, come,
you're
on, why did I,
right. Yeah. And I think that's an important thing to realize, is that our problems are not as big as God. Sometimes we get distracted with our problems, but ultimately it's not even worthy to be compared with what God can do in our life. Okay. All right. So, yeah, that is that all you got to say on that point there?
Yep.
Okay.
And there's no laugh lessons on this page, so we're good.
Okay, so we're good. And the last part of that verse is also important because it says, quicken me or awaken me is what it might be interpreted as. O Lord, according to thy word. And you're going to be awakened by God by reading his word. And in your afflictions, you're going to see God work by reading his word, by meditating, by abiding in him. If you're not walking with God, then like you said earlier, there's no light there. You need to be in the light. You need to do what God tells you to do, like verse 106 says. And then when you're afflicted, God will awaken you out of your problems. So we're going to read this last verse here, and then we're going to call it a day, and we'll see Charlie next week. All right. You ready for this? This is an important one.
I'm ready.
In verse 108, it says, "Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments." Now, this is interesting. I have a couple of different interpretations I'm thinking, and a couple of different things that God has shown me here. And one thing is actually kind of a deep cut, okay? Because I don't really know if this is exactly what God is meaning here, but it kind of just seems like he's saying accept, which means obviously to be accepted.
To give, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I beseech thee, so I beg you, the free will offerings of my mouth. Now, what's interesting is that God wants your words. God wants everything you say, and God wants to accept it. And it's interesting here because he says, God, I'm offering you everything that I say, which is interesting. It's not that he said the free will offerings of my life, like, God, I'm doing everything for you, but he singly targets his mouth. And oftentimes, you know, there's a lot of Christians, which I don't do this because I think it's not a good way to be, but Christians that swear, and there's even things that I say, I make jokes, not really like inappropriate jokes, but just jokes that I probably shouldn't say at that time.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
And, I've done that. Yeah.
Yeah. I do it a lot. And this man, he says, God, accept everything I'm saying. God, receive everything I'm saying. And it's almost like he's saying, God, I have a filter. And I think that we as Christians, and I could be interpreting this wrong, so, you know, if you have a different interpretation,
right,
tell me about it. But I feel like he's saying here specifically that, God, accept, I beg you, the offerings that I'm given with my mouth. So just to remind us that the words that we say are very powerful. They can either build someone up or tear them down. There's really no in between. You know what I mean? So we need to just be very cautious with the way that we speak, because the way that we speak ultimately will reflect Christ, period. It will. There's not a what if. It is everything you say, everything I say, everything that everyone listening says will reflect Christ. Because, well, people are looking at us. People are looking at us to see, well, okay, does this guy actually believe in what he's saying? You know what I mean? They're trying us. So we need to be careful and reflect Christ the way that we should. You know, at work, oftentimes when I'm talking to people, they'll try to get me to say something that I shouldn't say or engage in a conversation I shouldn't engage in. And they'll always, like, be confused why I don't do that. And the reason is just, why would I say things that would reflect Christ badly? You know what I mean? So it's just trying to live the life that we're supposed to. And I'm not perfect at this, not even a little bit. But we need to be very cautious about what we say and how we reflect Christ. Because the ending of that verse says that he wants God to teach him his judgments. And it's interesting that that's paired in the same verse. That, you know, God, accept the free will offerings. God, of my free will, I'm going to restrain my mouth. And because you're restraining your mouth, maybe this also means that I'm not going to charge God, you know, wrongly. I'm not going to blame God for things. Like, he's pure in his mouth, and he's saying, God, show me your judgments. God, because I'm being pure, I need your judgments to help me even get more so, because this man was not perfect either. Mm-hmm. So that's the way that verse hit me. Now, is there something in the book about this verse?
There, well, on this page, not in particular, but okay. You know, for me though, you know, I mean, when you said like talking about just like, you know, like people, you know, just surrendering like their mouths like to him, like, you know, whatever they say, right, and being careful what yep. they say, you know, it kind of made me think of the whole thing with the Asbury revival, right? Because mm-hmm. you know, I even had some family members who were like very skeptical about it. You know, they wanted to be, yeah. as my pastor put it, investigative, right? You know, like right. really just, and I think you, I think Donovan talked about that with Cody, you know, it was like people, they just wanted to tear it apart. Like it was like dang brisket and just like, mm-hmm. I'm really hungry right now. So that's why I said that.
Yeah. Brisket's good.
you know, they wanted to tear it apart and just like hyperanalyze everything. And they didn't want to let the Lord work. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's like, I mean, and sometimes, and it did kind of make me agitated. I was like, it's like, just, please just stop and let the Lord work and see what he's doing. I mean, you yeah. know, cause I, and that was one thing that was just kind of like, you know, you don't know what the Lord's doing in that person's heart. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, you don't.
And I just didn't understand really the whole, you know, like the whole thing. And plus is it, and this is not a jab at people, I promise you, but I was just thinking, is it real? It's not, you know, the way I see it, it's not that, I say Christian-like, I guess if the way you want to put it, is to like bring people down by saying stuff like that and being so investigative mm-hmm. about it. You know, lift them up. I mean, yeah, sure, guide them in the right way, but
yeah,
you know, I mean, do yeah. it in a way where it's not tearing them down, because you know that's one thing that I mean, I'm not, and I'd probably need to do. You know, I try to do that the best way I can, and I'm sure there's ways I can improve. Is, you know, you don't want to be like so forward about it, but at the same time, you know, obviously tell them the truth, but, you know, you have to right. kind of ease them in, because, you know, this is like this right here, this Bible right here and all of them, you know, is just, it's a daunting thing when you look at it. It's like, there's so much going mm-hmm. on in here. Like, you know, it's a new thing and you have to ease people into it, you know, and one thing that my church has kind of hit on, you know, and it's true, is like when they were talking about D-Now and getting people invited and stuff, they were, you know, the likelihood of like kids coming, you know, to D-Now and other events like that. Yeah. If you invite them is much higher because you invited them. And plus, I know this sounds a bit weird and it might be a little off topic, but you know, they were saying like, you know, it's not, you know, a D now is not specifically like going to church. You know what I'm saying? It's like an event. Mm-hmm. You have games, you know, and stuff like that, you know? So, you know, the youth come to that and everything, but you know, Jesus is rooted into that. And we do sermons, we do, you know, worship, and they get to learn, but in a, you know, in a way to where, you know, they're with their friends, they can ask questions, people they're comfortable with asking, you know, because walking up to somebody you don't know, like a youth pastor, like if it's your first time coming to church in years, that might be a scary thing as well. There's so much that yeah. people need to consider when talking to others. Like, I mean, it's a lot, you know, but I try to put that yeah. on the consideration. And also, you just have to be, like I said, considerate to people, you know, if mm-hmm. they have questions, and it may differ, and you're like, I don't know about that. Like, just be easy with it. Like, don't be like, you know, don't be angry at them. You know, they may have been told something different all their life. And once somebody's told something like that all their life, it's hard for them to let that go because they've known that way for so long.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I got out of it. Yeah.
Like, just, you know? just be careful with your words. You know
what yeah, I mean? Exactly. But, you know, yeah. to sum it up, exactly. Just be careful with your words. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And like, I'm going to say this and then we'll close for today mm-hmm. or unless you have something else, but I'll say this real fast. Is we oftentimes separate grace and truth. Okay. You know, mm-hmm. I am a very truth oriented person. I'm a person that will see something and be like, okay, this is what happened. This is the way you need to get it right. I'm very much like that.
Yeah.
And kind of to my detriment sometimes because I don't have the grace. And something that Jesus did perfectly, and it specifically says this in the Bible, he was full of grace and truth. He was full mm-hmm. of both of it. And it's not that he was 50% grace and 50% truth. He was 100% grace and 100% truth. So there's a balance that we need to find. And like you were saying, yeah, we need to ease people in, but we also need to be facts. Like, this is, look, the way you're living right now is destroying you, period. Mm-hmm. But there's a God that loves you, that wants to save you out of your problems. And if you're listening today and you are owned by any sin or you're struggling with any sin, listen, the sin, even if you're saved, the sin you are in is going to destroy you. Now, if you're saved, you're not going to go to hell, but the sin that you have is going to destroy you mentally, going to destroy you physically. It's a proven fact. Even in the Bible, when David sinned with Bathsheba, he wrote a psalm, I believe it's Psalm 51, and it says that he aged like crazy when he sinned. That's because sin is actually not good for the body. It's not. And there was a time in my life where I knew someone that was sinning terribly. And mm-hmm. with the guilt of his sin that he did, he aged like 10 years within like 3 years, dude. It's crazy. Wow. He had like no wrinkles before. But then, like, he was sickly just because sin does that to you. So if you are here and you are being owned by your sin, or you're sinning, or you're constantly going back to your sin, listen, God says that's wrong, but God says he'll help you out of it. Just like you got saved, God will help you out of your sin problem right now. So that's kind of where I like, my thoughts are closing out today. Yeah. What do you think, Charlie? Do you have any other closing thoughts?
Well, you know, and you kind of, and this was just always something I've always tried to tell people, you know, when it comes to struggling with your sin or whatever it may be, and you hit on it, on Donovan's when I listened to it today, is, you know, you're never alone in that. There's always people that have been through the same thing. Yeah. You know, the enemy might try to say, no, you're the only one, Chief. Like, no. Like, he's trying to make you feel alone, I promise. Yep. Like, you know, because I was struggling with something, and I reached out to some people, and then I found more and more people, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's so many. Like, you know, I didn't, you know, you realize that, and it's just, and I promise you, they will want to sit down and talk with you. If they've gotten out of it, they'll sit down and talk with you, or if they haven't, and you know what, you can start that together, and, you know, try to get out, I'm not going to say try, and you will get out of it together. Like,
That's right.
You know,
and also find people that have already gotten out of your sin,
yes.
the sin that you're struggling with, mm-hmm. you know, and, we talk a lot about certain sins, but I think there is, if you look at your church, wherever you're at, mm-hmm. don't think that you're the only person in your church that struggles with things. There's things that people in my youth group have struggled with, that my youth pastor had struggled with, or that my youth pastor's wife had struggled with, or even the pastor, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? There's people in the church that have already gotten out of it. As my girlfriend's grandpa used to say when he was around, he already paid the stupid tax so that you didn't have to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny, but it's so profound when you think about it, that there are people older than you. There are people older than you that want to help you. They already did the wrong things. They already got out of it. They want to guide you away from that. So I think that's a good place to close out. Are we good?
Yep, we're good.
Okay. All right. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. Hopefully this audio sounds good. Hopefully I'm praying that we can pull this all together. And next week we are going to be back with Charlie. Actually, we're going to probably do it, since this has been longer than what I thought it was going to be, we're probably going to do it in 2 weeks, because I've been trying to do it bi-weekly so that I have time to do my school and work and all that stuff. So, hey, Charlie, thank you so, so much for being on here. Thank you. And I'm going to put your Instagram down below, and, you know, maybe if you have an email, if you want to set up an email, I'll put that down there. Contact Charlie. Let him know. Find his podcast. Great guy, and I can't wait to talk to him next week. So, all right. Thank you, Charlie.
Of course.
And as we end off yet another episode, I want to remind you of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's you, that's me, you can put your name in there, that he gave his only begotten son. Don't forget that you are loved by God. Don't let anybody tell you that you are not worth it, because you were worth enough that Jesus Christ bled and died on the cross for you. And don't forget, you can follow me on Instagram and DM me with any questions, comments, or concerns you might have on this episode, and I will gladly get back to you as soon as possible. So until next time, God bless.